We shall now turn to Ephesians chapter 2, and our text for this evening is verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Here we have one of the great verses of the Bible. There's nothing more central, nothing more vital than what we have before us here. It's the very heart of the gospel. J.C. Ryle, the first bishop of Liverpool, stories told about him that when he was a student, he was brought up in not an evangelical home and didn't know the gospel and was quite careless about these things. He lived a life of interest in sport. He was a great cricketer and so on. But one day at Oxford University, he went into an Anglican church and he heard this chapter being read. And particularly, he heard this verse, and as it was read slowly, made a deep impression upon him. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It was one of the steps in his conversion. And of course, following his conversion, sometime later, he entered the ministry, and God used him greatly as a writer, a preacher, and an organizer of evangelical churches in Liverpool. The cathedral in Liverpool wasn't built until long after Ryle's time, fairly recent times. And the reason was that he didn't want to waste money on buildings when it could be used in employing ministers to preach the gospel to the needy souls in that great expanding city of Liverpool. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. It would be wonderful if you tonight could grasp this verse, could understand it, could see it as referring to yourself, and could see yourself in it and rejoice in this amazing grace of God. First of all, tonight, men and women are perishing. We see that all around us. Every day, people are dying and going down to a lost eternity. People need to be saved. Jesus said there is a broad road that leads to destruction, and many are on it. And there's a narrow road that leads to life, and few there be that find it. That broad road that leads to destruction. Every day, thousands of people in this world are dying, and they're going down to hell. A great river of humanity ending up in the lake of fire. That should give us a thought. And it should give us a thought that many of those, or some of those at least, are people whom we know ourselves, with whom we rub shoulders. Maybe in our families, amongst our relatives, our neighbours, our friends, people we work with. And they're going on day after day, rapidly. And where are they going to end up? It looks very likely it's going to be in the lake of fire. They show no interest in Christ, no concern for their souls, no seeking of the Lord. In Many who are dying have no realization that they are dying. Death can come so quickly. Death can be so unexpected. We try to speak to the people around us, and they're just not interested. They're so apathetic. Why is it that people are so careless about the gospel? So apathetic. Why do they have no interest? Why are they not bothered about salvation? Why are they not worried about the hell to which they are going? There are several reasons. One is that they believe in a God of love who is just love. He's got nothing else but love. A God who is not a God of justice. Not the God of Scripture, who brought His wrath and curse upon the ancient world, destroying it with a flood. Or brought His fire and brimstone upon Sodom and Gomorrah, burning up these wicked cities. Not the God whom the Bible describes as a consuming fire. They can't think of God sending anyone to hell. Surely they'll get a second chance. Or if there is a hell, surely it'll only be temporary. And then they'll get out of it. God is love. And people love to think of God as love. But they don't like to think about the God of the Bible, who says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then, secondly, there's so many people, they're apathetic because they're self-righteous. Self-righteousness is so natural. It's natural for people to compare themselves one with another. I'm not as bad as some people. Lots of people in the world worse than me. I try to do a good deed, and I try to be kind, I try to be helpful. I'm an honest, upright person. I'm sure it'll be all right for me. I'm just as good as anyone else. And they put all their faith in their own righteousness. And they ignore the fact that Scripture says that your righteousness is as filthy rags. The very best you can do, the smelly garments. We have no righteousness in the sight of God because we enter this world as sinners. Why are people apathetic? A third reason is because the churches issue such a confused message. The churches are so afraid of offending people. They're afraid to warn them about hell and judgment and the wrath of God. And the churches seem to tolerate all kinds of immorality and see nothing wrong with it. So many churches, the message is so confused. There's an uncertain sound on the trumpet. And so nobody prepares. Nobody runs to the city of refuge. Nobody hides behind the walls. The church's confused message. And then another factor is the devil's deception. The devil spends his time deceiving people. You'll be all right. Everything will work out fine. This is exciting. This is interesting. Do this. Enjoy this pleasure. Plenty time later on to seek the Lord. You know, the devil is constantly talking in people's hearts and their ears. And he's telling them to enjoy sin, to carry on with it. Everything will be fine. You shall not surely die. Was that not his ancient lie to our first parents? You shall not surely die. you won't go to hell. It's all right. You're safe. Carry on. But then the most basic reason of all why people are apathetic is because they are dead in sin. You have He quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. Dead to spiritual things, dead to God, sleeping in the grave, careless, dead. And friends, there's no hope. There's no hope for somebody being saved until they come to realize their need, until they feel that they're sinners in danger. Nobody will cry out to God for mercy unless he feels that he's in danger of going down to hell and being lost forever. Men and women perishing, careless. Are you careless? Are you saved? And if you're not saved tonight, if you can't say you're saved, does it bother you? Are you trusting in a God of love? Are you depending still on your self-righteousness, your goodness? Are you making an excuse out of the confused message from the churches? Are you allowing the devil to deceive you? Are you dead in trespasses and sins? Men and women perishing. But secondly, notice that grace saves. By grace are ye saved. This is a Christian message. It's different from the message of every other religion. It tells us that you don't get to heaven on the basis of your merit. It's not because you're so good that the Lord brings you to salvation. It's not because of something good you do. But by grace, God's unmerited favor, God's kindness to those who do not deserve it, God's riches at Christ's expense, grace. Grace bestowed upon the unworthy. Think of Paul. He was a persecutor and a blasphemer. But God saved him. Think of Peter. He denied the Lord 3 times. But God saved him. Think of David, the adulterer. But God saved him. Think of Ruth, the heathen. But God saved her. Think of Rahab, the harlot. But God saved her. Think of the thief on the cross, spent his life in crime. By grace are ye saved. Not for our own goodness, not because of anything we have done, but grace. God's grace. God's first covenant with man was a covenant of works. Do this and live. There was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. You must not eat of it, lest you die. A commandment to be obeyed, and eternal life would be merited. But our first parents broke the covenant of works. And we've got to remember that Adam was our first parent. Adam was our representative. Adam was our head in the covenant of works, and when he ate the forbidden fruit, you ate it and I ate it. So long before we were born, we were sinners. Sinners condemned. We sinned in Adam and fell with him in his first transgression. But then God makes a new covenant, a covenant of grace, of mercy, of salvation. There's a plan of redemption. The Son of God comes into this world to be the Savior, to take our nature, to take our place, to take our sin. Tempted like us in all points, but resisting the tempter. And then as the perfect Son of God died on the cross. By grace, God's unspeakable gift, the gift of His Son. By Jesus Christ. Verse 7, that in ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved. Christ. It's all through Christ. Christ is our gospel. Christ is our message. Christ is our Savior. Christ is the grace of God. Through Him, salvation. Christ freely offered to us in the gospel. In the parable He says, come, for all things are now ready. Everything's done. It's ready. Come. On the cross He cried, it is finished. It is completed. Salvation is accomplished. Redemption is there. I paid the full price. Every penny that was required. By grace are you saved. So He rises from the dead saying, peace be unto you. And He says to His disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Teaching this gospel truth. Telling about me. How I died for sinners and rose again. And earned salvation for them. And how they must look to me and be saved. By grace are you saved. And we preach grace. That's a message that we have for the lost world today. God's grace. And that grace is freely offered in the gospel. Thirdly, through faith. Faith is very important. It's mentioned here in this verse. By grace are ye saved through faith. None are saved but those who exercise faith. You must be a believer to be saved. Someone says, if I'm in the elect, I'll be saved. If I'm not, I won't. Whatever you say, unless you believe, you won't be saved. There's only one way to be saved, and that's by belief. What must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on, believing His word and depending upon Him, taking Him, trusting in Him, united to Him, receiving and embracing Him into your own heart. Think of the way it's put in John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. That's a great verse. That last verse in John chapter 3. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Believe on the Son. Believe what He says. And depend upon Him and what He says. Trust Him. Receive the gospel. Receive Christ. And you'll be saved. We're called upon to preach the gospel. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. We might think of much wiser ways of saving people, much more effective ways of bringing about conversions, of getting people into the church and keeping them in the church. All kinds of things we could invent. But it pleased God, through the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. This is the weak instrument, but it's the instrument chosen by God and powerful in His hands. By grace, through faith. Are you a believer? Not just believing the facts, but believing all. Committing yourself to. Casting yourself upon Him for salvation. Through faith. Fourthly, not of yourselves. Not of yourselves. Faith is essential. No unbeliever will get to heaven. All who believe are saved. So how do we get people to become believers? Various attempts have been made over the years. Charles Finney had his anxious bench, a seat down at the front of the church. Come down to the anxious bench and you'll be saved. In modern evangelism, so often mass evangelism, come down to the front and you'll be saved. Raise your hand if you want to be saved. Stand up if you want to be saved. Sign on the dotted line if you want to be saved. Say the sinner's prayer and you'll be saved. Come repeat these words after me. Now you're saved. Is that faith? A work that we can do? A physical action? Any of us could walk down to the front and sit in the front seat. Will that save us? Any of us could repeat like a parrot? The sinner's prayer, will that save us? Faith. To get converts, people make faith into something physical. That's easily done. But you notice here that faith is not of yourselves. Not of yourselves. Man-made faith is false and sadly deceives millions. I find it interesting that some years ago there was kind of revival in Drumchapel, the United Free Church there. Lots of people claimed to be saved. People turning their back on drink and drugs and The group that were in the United Free Church there broke away and they formed, I think it was called the New Life Church in Drumchapel. Where's the New Life Church today? So many of the people that I come across, amazing how many alcoholics and drug addicts I come across, who believed that they were saved in Drumchapel. Even just last weekend, there was a couple at the church. And the woman was saying, "Oh, I'm a Christian. I was saved in the New Life Church." People making a decision, saying a prayer. You're saved. But no change of life. No new birth. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are made new. We've got to be different. There's a power there, the power of the Holy Spirit. The expulsive power of a new affection. As Chalmers put it, when you have this affection for God, this love for God, you can't have the love for drink and the love for drugs and the love for immorality. The expulsive power. When Christ comes in, an awful lot is pushed out. how many there are who say, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. By their fruits you shall know them. What sort of fruit are they producing? The devil's work. No use. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Finally, notice, it is the gift of God. What is the gift? Faith. Faith is the gift. Not that God believes for us or Christ believes for us, but God gives us the grace whereby we believe. We are enabled to trust. We can't merit salvation. It's a gift. We can't work up faith. It's not a mere decision of the will. It's a gift. Freely given. Given to whom? To those whom God has decided to save. To those whom he has loved from all eternity. To the elect. But what if I'm not in the elect? Well, you don't know who's in the elect. Maybe you're not. But maybe you are. How can you know? Make your calling and election sure. How can you make sure you're elect? Peter tells you, make sure you're elect. By repenting and believing the gospel. By turning from your sin. By crying to God for mercy. By seeking the Lord while he is to be found. By not resting content on the way to hell. Make sure you're in the elect. We're not to worry about election if we're outside of Christ. Rather, we're to worry about being in Christ and on Christ and Christ in us. All who die unbelieving will go to hell. And all who do not respond to the gospel message will perish. So you must respond. You must believe to be saved. Do you want to be saved? Do you see a need of being saved? Do you feel your need of being saved? Take that as encouragement. That the Lord has opened your eyes even to that extent. And seek from him the faith you need. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray to him. Cry to him for mercy. Be like blind Bartimaeus. The crowd tried to silence him. You're a pain. Be quiet. You're upsetting things. We can't hear what Jesus is saying. But the more they told him to be quiet, the more he cried out, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Save me, save me, save me. He wouldn't give up until he was heard. Think of the Syrophoenician woman whose daughter was possessed with a devil. She was praying to Jesus and he wouldn't answer. She kept on praying. He said, is it right to give the children's food to dogs? No, Lord. But the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the children's table. All I want is a crumb. Oh, the persistence. Great is thy faith. Go in peace. And her daughter was healed from that hour. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Every other religion is a religion of works. Islam, your good deeds and your bad deeds will be put in the balances. And if your good deeds outweigh the bad, you'll get to heaven. If the bad outweigh the good, you'll be condemned to hell. But that's not the teaching of the Bible. The teaching of the Bible is that everyone's deeds deserve hell. And the only thing to turn the balances is Christ. He that has the Son has life. And he that is not the Son of God hath not life. It's only by grace you can be saved. Here we have a very precious verse. A precious verse for needy sinners. By grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Christ freely offered to you in the gospel. Will you have him? Or will you walk away from him, despising him?